Amen. All right, well, we're going to get ready to get started, and I want to welcome everyone here that is present in the barn, and I want to welcome all of our listeners out there that are listening. Whether it's a recorded message, I welcome you, and this message is for you. And I have my three pastors here, Pastor Sam, Pastor Kurt, Pastor Tim, and myself. The four horsemen, and we are called by God to bring this gospel. You know, this gospel here that we bring is not like every gospel. There's many, many gospels out there. You know, they say they proclaim good news. That's what the gospel is supposed to mean. They proclaim good news. But what is their good news? Does their good news actually bring you into an eternal life or bring you into a life?
No, their good news is Jesus is coming. That's their whole news.
Yeah.
That's their good news.
Their good news is Jesus is coming.
That's their news.
Their news is
their gospel news.
Their gospel.
Their gospel news is
that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So these people think that if they just confess with their mouth that Jesus was raised from the dead, they're saved.
And that's a shame.
Yeah, it is. It's sad.
Because they still have to live a life in this world with the same torment and never have a life.
It says unless you're born again, you'll never see the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, well, they don't even know what born again is.
Well, they think that that's born again.
Correct.
Right. That's born. If you confess with your lips.
Yeah.
But your heart is so far.
Yeah. Well, that starts in Job.
So.
Where was that scripture?
So the truth of the reality of it is, we need to get this gospel out, so that this gospel will change the life of an individual. See, people that come to God or come to church or come to a religion, they come because they want a life. They want to come and experience a life. But when you go there and you hear a gospel message about, you know, if you confess that Jesus Christ died for your sins or whatever and he was raised from the dead, you shall be saved, you know, does that really give them a life? Does it give them a life? Like, you know, and it's sad. I can see why the world that we're living in right now is diverting away from the gospel or the message or the truth because of the fact that it's not making a change in their life.
They are searching for something. That's
right.
That's why people are going to a church, to search for something. And they're given that
instead,
and I believe that's God bringing them to that place. But they're being misinformed,
right?
And they're not being taught to have that relationship with God who dwells within. I mean, yeah, he's out there, but he's actually in every one of us also.
And that's what's making the gospel, the true gospel message, or even religion, fading away.
Yeah.
I mean, it's totally being taken out.
See, religion has a tendency to forget that you're saved by grace through faith. And the Apostle Paul never met Jesus the man, but he was saved by grace through faith because he had a revelation knowledge of who God was and who God is in his life. And he already had a faith, but the grace came and it changed his whole life because he was persecuting Christians and he was setting them up to get killed, you know, but God's love manifested before him and he had an encounter on the road to Damascus and it changed his whole life and changed the course of history. Mm-hmm. You know, so people forget, they always assume it's Jesus, but it's not, it's grace. It's that knowledge of God. It's the love of God that changes you and saves you. God's the only one that can save you. Nobody else.
You know, Tim just said was profound. What he said was he had an encounter with God. That's what we do here. We know God. We have encounters with God every day. The other places are just stories. There's no God. There's no encounter with God. There's no relationship with a living God. And that's what he wants. God wants a relationship with his people. He doesn't want us to worship his creation. His creation is Jesus. He created him to be an example for us to follow, to lay down our lot, to lay down our will and follow him. And, you know, that's what it comes down to. It's simple. God wants a relationship with his people. And until you have an encounter with God, you're not even awakened. That's the awakening, is the first encounter with God. That's how you become awakened.
You know, those encounters really come with what you said, grace.
Correct, grace.
Without grace, you really can't have an encounter with God. So you can't see him. So in order to have, you know, this grace, which grace literally is having a spiritual knowledge, a revelation of the spiritual world.
Not the Bible, not the book.
Right.
But an actual spiritual relationship.
You have just to be on the word grace. There's a lot of people out there that think the word grace means mercy.
Mm-hmm.
They really do.
Right.
And
like kindness.
Or God had grace on me.
Yeah.
It's a mercy. Yeah. And it's not. It's a divine knowledge.
An enlightenment.
Enlightenment,
like
yes.
You see an understanding.
Yep.
And it becomes a reality.
Yep. The truth.
And knowing, for example, that there is a higher power out there that really looks out for your best interest and cares for you.
Yeah.
That rate in itself is grace.
Yeah.
Some individuals don't even realize that there's a supernatural power leading and guiding and directing, at least wanting to. And that there's another part that is actually leading us down to a bad road, wants us to come into a destruction, you know, taking you into the pit, so to say. That in itself is grace, where you have an enlightenment of the reality of truth to where you now can begin to live an eternal life, or you can live a spiritual life. You can begin to live and begin to really do spiritual warfare. And Pastor Kurt and I spoke about spiritual warfare last Wednesday. And, you know, we're going to, this Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to begin to start speaking about spiritual warfare. And so it's important to tune in, because if we don't have an awareness of what is around us and in us spiritually, then we're just basically living a life based on our own understanding, whether it's what was passed down from generation to generation, or traditional knowledge, book knowledge, school knowledge, or whatever you want to call
it. God's not alive in your life. If you're living by reasoning and the book knowledge and traditions, then God's not evident. He's not living in your life. He's not a part of you.
He doesn't exist.
He doesn't exist.
God doesn't exist. Okay. So basically what you're doing is you're just living your natural life out, struggling, trying to make it out on your own. Your mind is always at work, trying to figure it out, trying to reason. You see? And your mind always, always troubles your heart.
Yeah.
So now your heart's always troubled. And you feel nauseous, sick, or you just don't feel right. You feel confused, you feel lost, and you get numb. We spoke about numb one of those Sundays ago, and you actually lose your feelings. You lose your emotional feelings. You go numb, and to the point where you can endure a lot of, I'm going to say, physical and mental pain. Yeah, it desensitizes, and then you look at that as normal.
Yeah.
And this is just the way life is.
Right.
And really what happens is you get so complacent, you just basically end striving to try to create because you're beaten down so much, and you just give in because you're so weak, you just give in, and then you just sit there and now you twiddle your thumbs just waiting for the day to die.
But there's no peace.
No.
There's no joy. There's
been
nothing.
Stolen a long time ago when you were desensitized.
No. But you can get it back.
Yeah, you get it in the bar. You get it.
Well, no. I'm talking about this.
Oh, this gospel.
With this gospel, you get it back. Is what I'm saying.
Well,
because a lot of people
real.
Come to that place,
mm-hmm.
and that's the place where God actually brings you to a surrender and a brokenness and an understanding that it's you've done all that you could do and it's not working.
Well, and you're right.
And
God,
you need help.
God brings you to that place.
Yeah.
But the problem that we're having right now is there's no true ministers.
Yeah, there's
out
nobody
there.
Telling them that they're. You can have help. Yeah, I agree.
Where's the true ministers out there that are actually leading and guiding them to a transforming life? I mean, people are out there going to their religious facilities, doing their traditional thing, and yet still being tormented in their minds and their hearts.
It's because...
Talk to me.
It's because the ministers have given themselves over to chasing prosperity messages. You know, everything's about prosperity because they want their congregations to flourish and they want people to keep coming to their ministry. It's not about ministering to the people and getting them out of their problems and having them have an encounter with God. It's about filling the fannies and the seats, you know, by telling them, hey, you know, if you sow this and you do this and that, everything's about prosperity. Exactly, and it's a real shame. That's why God's raising up people just like us to get this gospel out there, because people are starved for truth right now, and they're hurting, and they need help.
I think we're on the brits of something changing right now. Well, I really do.
I agree.
I think there's a lot of people out there saying to themselves, I think it's time to change churches. I really do. I think there's people out there saying, I'm not getting help when I need help.
Right. If you're sitting in a place for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, 10 years, 5 years, and there's no change, and you're just doing the same thing of the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting results, and you're not getting anything, you have to think to yourself, what's going on here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't, in this truth, I just see a lot of people broken, but what we're speaking here is not a religion. It's an everyday life. I just want to bring into an example, like 2 days ago, there was a guy that was brought back to my job, and everything that we did yesterday went wrong. Everything. And at the end of the day, I looked at him and I started laughing. I go, I should fire us today. but nobody's fault. But then he came in today with that same mindset. And I looked at him and I said, we're having a good day today. We're going to have a good day today. Because yesterday was a little dark. Today we're going to have a good day, and we're going to have a bright day, and we're going to have a light day. And we did. And it was prosperous. We had a good time. And everything that we touched went good. Thank God. You know what I mean? But you have to, and this truth will bring you to a place of saying, okay, I'm going to have a bad day, but you know what? God's going to help me out tomorrow. And I'm going to cast down the darkness like you were talking about, and the stuff that tries to steal and rob and come into our heads and lie to us and say, no, God's for me, not against me. And no, I'm going to have a good day. And we're going to have a bright day today. We're going to, you know, God's with me. And we're going to have a good day. And God's true. I had a good day today. God was with me and I had a good day today.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll pick
that up. You know, a lot of the focus of people in congregations is an outward fight. They're trying to control the things they can't control. The only thing you can control in this world is you. You can't control anybody or anything, and that's where people lose their peace. They're trying to control their outward lives. And, you know, we were speaking earlier, and we were talking about where God lives, and God lives within you. And the whole entire ministry of this walk is an inward life, an inward focus, because you can only control yourself. And, you know, you go to these churches and they tell you to control yourself. They tell you, but they don't give you the tools to do so. They say, oh, no. Don't try to control out there. But you don't have any tools. There's no weapons to fight inside. There's no truth to come and battle the lies within you that just reflect the lies outside, because there's no truth in you. That's what we do here. There's a truth here that gives you the weapons to fight within you that controls yourself.
Well, people have a biblical knowledge that are telling them that. But they don't have grace.
There's no grace.
There's no knowledge of how to overcome that.
They don't have weapons. They have no way to
nothing.
Fight. And they get frustrated and they struggle and they quit and they get run down because no one's shown them how to find that peace within. Only place you're gonna find peace is within, not outside fighting.
you know, I just wanted to piggyback real quick off of what Pastor Jim said. He said that there's a shift coming where people are starting to realize that, hey, this religious church, I'm starting to leave it. Well, I spoke to a woman last week, and this is a wonderful woman. I didn't know she was Hindu. And she had been going to Hindu temples for many, many years and following traditions. And she came to a realization that God's not in that. She even told me, she's like, I don't go back to the Hindu temple anymore. She's like, I feel like it's been watered down over centuries, and we don't even know what the real truth is. That's what she told me. And she's searching, and I spoke to her about our truth and about our ministry, and she says, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a relationship with God that dwells inside of me, because that's where she believes it is. And she doesn't believe it's in the statues and all these different gods and all that. She's renounced that. But that's where God's leading people to this truth, because people are realizing, they're sensing in their inner spirit that, hey, this other stuff is false. Because I'm still the same person as I was 10 years ago, and I'm not changed. We're worse. Yeah. And this gospel will change you, and it will make you better inside. You'll start to have an encounter with God to where he'll breathe life into you and not have all that darkness constantly that people live in, and it beats them up all the time. You know, because what we've all been through, we can attest to this truth, and we've been in this for 20-some years now, you know, and I know these three pastors and myself, and we've walked a tough road. We walked a tough walk, but we've trusted God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and he's gotten us through everything that we've gone through, and we can attest that this truth has been battle-tested. It really has, you know, and all of us have been changed. I'm not the same person I was 20 years ago, either as Pastor Jim, Pastor Kurt, and Pastor Sam, you know, and that's because of this grace that God gave us, changed us on the inside. The outside's it's fading away. We all look different than we did 20 years ago. But on the inside, we're renewed. And that's what this truth brings.
And it's bringing strength, too.
It is.
And it allows you to make hard decisions and continue to pursue the joy and the peace and the righteousness so that we can actually leave this earthly body and transition right over until into the heavenly realm. Right.
Not missing a beat.
Right, not missing a beat.
Yeah.
You know, the beautiful thing is to not suffer when we're going to be taken away.
Yeah.
Don't you want those that, how about those that are just in our audience right now? Wouldn't you just want to just leave your body, you know, on a good day, you know, and next thing you know, your spirit just lifts right out of your body and you're not going through any pain or suffering or tied up with any kind of tubes or surgery or anything like that or struggling with any type of, you know, disease or, you know, cancer or what have you, you know, your spirit just says, okay, it's time to go, and your body just drops and your spirit just goes on. Well, I truly believe that happens when you reach a condition of spiritual condition where your heart's not troubled and you're at peace and you're at joy. I think the ones that go through the trouble is because their heart is troubled.
So they go through more suffering.
They're going through the suffering. So it's like
the end of their life.
Yeah. Right. So it's like the inner spirit of trouble lays itself on the table in the physical realm. Mm-hmm. And now you're like dealing with the trouble.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that God's love for us really wants us to go through that. I think he wants us to go through a wonderful transition into the heavenlies and just pass on right through and not even see death. Because this gospel that we bring, death lost its sting.
Right. Right.
And so there's no even sense of it. You don't even have a knowledge of it. But if you look at individuals that are, you know, suffering with a disease or whatever, what are they thinking about all day long?
The disease,
right. The suffering.
The yeah.
You know, oh my God, I'm going to be dead.
They're
preparing their place and all that. And we don't have to go through that. There's no reason for anyone to go through that. It's not in the book. You see? And this is why I believe we were raised up for this time, so that we can bring this gospel to a life that is suffering, a life that is, you know, out there lost and confused. And I know through the scriptures, God always raised up, you know, at a point in time. There was Moses, and then there was, like, you know, the prophets, and then there was Jesus, and then after Jesus was even the apostles. And, you know, it just kept onward and onward. And I think we're at a time right now.
Yeah,
I think we're at a transition time. And, you know, the world and those around us need to embrace that there is a difference. You know, I think most people just think, oh, church, this church is no different than that church. Or this denomination's no different than that denomination. They're all the same. No, there isn't. They're not all the same. You know, and the sad thing about it is there's some evangelicals and apostolics. You know, I met a couple of, Sam was there. We did a memorial, and they were apostolic, and it looked like the church was no different than we saw it 10 years ago. It was like
nothing changed.
Nothing has changed.
They're still living on that from 10, 20 years ago.
Well, you know,
that's how my own testimony.
We have a gentleman here in our audience named John, and he's a.
Yeah, but you weren't going to a church.
He was searching.
He was listening to a lot.
Yeah, you were right.
He went to a lot of different ones, but there was only this one that really struck me.
I was moved to come here. You know?
Yeah.
I was searching, but.
You're called.
Called.
You're called. You were forced to reckon a force.
You mentioned the woman that was Hindu.
The Hindu woman, yeah.
She's searching.
She is.
They're all searching.
They're all searching.
They're all searching, but it's like anything else. If you're looking to get accepted somewhere, it's going to be the first person that opens up their arms and accepts you for who you are, and you're going to go with that group.
They're not really searching.
For the time being, but here's the gauge, though. Joy.
Oh, I understand exactly what you're saying.
I know. I know you do. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Mm-hmm. And what they're realizing is all the messages they're getting, they don't have joy. They don't have peace.
They don't have power.
They have more problems today than they had last week.
Yeah.
They keep compounding.
But more simply, they're just looking for a change in their life for the better.
Yeah.
That's all.
Sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Well, a lot of people are just sick and tired of the lie.
Yeah.
But then they get numb.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
But then they get numb. Right.
Yep.
And this is what we're dealing with right now. Yep. A numbed generation.
That's what he said in the last days, that ears will become dull.
Yeah, the ears have become dull.
I truly believe in the heavenlies. Like, we're coming into a different age. And, you know, God allowed religion to go this far, you know, and people were kind of under that covering of the religion. And now he's saying, no, I want more pure worship. I want it to be a pure relationship with my people. And I believe that's why this age now that we're encountering, he's hardened their hearts towards religion. You know, that caused them to say, hey, you know, something else needs to be done, because they're not believing that anymore.
Well, that's what happened 2,000 years
ago. Right, with the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's exactly what happened 2,000 years ago with Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's why they're saying.
And the bulls and all. Stuff.
And that's what that's why they're saying the prophets of old are speaking about the second coming of Christ.
Yeah.
I truly believe that this is the second coming of Christ's gospel.
Yeah.
And this second coming of Christ's gospel is bringing people who are sick and tired of the religion or whatever, bringing them to another level of truth where they begin to look at the inner self. They have to start looking at the inner self. If you're looking on the outwardness and trying to deal with life on the outward and dealing with your mind, not having the knowledge or the grace that we were talking about earlier, you're dead.
you're trying to figure it out instead of surrendering to it and trusting God.
You're never trying to figure it out.
But they can't stop trying.
And they can't, yeah, because we know.
But nobody's teaching that, like you were saying. It's in them. It is in them, but nobody's telling them that's the right path.
Correct. It's just
because their pastors, and I don't believe the pastors and the ministers
out there don't know.
I'm glad that you went back to that, because right now I believe that there is a call, and I hope and pray that there are some pastors or leaders that are listening that they really need to wake up.
Yeah.
They need to wake up because we need help. Listen, it's not us just bringing this gospel. We need help to bring this gospel. We really do. We need the pastors and the leaders and the other churches out there to wake up and step up and begin to bring this gospel to a lost and dying world. You see? We have to. We have to get them to wake up. You know, there are some good ministries out there that I thought had a heart for salvation, had a heart to find them, and there was even one man who passed away not too long ago, who I believe the mantle has dropped, and God said that he was going to do some things that, you know, were going to awaken the church. With all that being said, you know, they are the ones that really need to wake up, because they look at as forerunners. They're looking at themselves as forerunners.
Mm-hmm.
They look at themselves past, you know, the traditional churches and stuff by teaching them how to go heal the sick, you know. Go out there and lay hands on them and produce miracles, signs, and wonders, so that this way they can ask, "Who's your God?"
Preach Jesus to them. Preach Jesus to them.
But let's go back to, I mean, let's go back to where. What are we doing every day with that relationship with God? We're trying to grow in God every day. What are those ministries doing? Are they stale?
Who knows?
Are they stagnant? Are they, because there's no what they call new manna.
Well, they're looking, they're looking at
because you're saying what? It's a, like you were just saying, though, you went to that ministry and it's the same. It's 10 years ago. So where is the seeking part? Where's that gone? Where's that fire that's inside that's making you go forward? Where's that?
Yeah, the gospel's always growing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Theirs is stayed on one page.
Well, they think they have it all.
Exactly right, on that one page.
Yeah,
they're on one page. There's 10 words on that page. Yeah. It's all that's
I agree.
Whole gospel.
That's
have a book. When our book is bigger every day, God is
that same scripture
growing.
May be different in 6 months or a year.
But same, correct, exactly right.
I never hear once of a higher glory, another level of glory. And we talk about that.
Out of the churches.
Yep, and out of here, we talk about it all the time. You know, you reach one level of glory, and then, you know, there's more. There's a lot more. I never hear that. I hear that, you know, you believe in Jesus, and you're saved. That's it.
Yeah.
Anything, okay, we're done.
No one wants to grow.
Nobody wants to grow.
You know, they don't know how.
He says, I want to.
You're right there.
They don't know how.
That's it.
How many times have you said it in the end times where, you know, God desires for the true worshipers?
Yeah, that'll worship him in spirit and truth.
Spirit and truth. That's what he's talking about.
I truly believe that the people out there, that the ministers and stuff, have stopped repenting. They stopped repenting. They stopped changing the way they think. They're staying in one state of mind as far as their belief. They're not open for anything new. And, you know, Pastor Sam always says there's only one sign that's going to be giving, and that's the sign of Jonah, the prophet. You know,
right. Repent. But let's go back to those pastors that aren't repenting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think it's by choice?
Yes. Now it is. They had a chance in the beginning, but now it is by choice. Yes.
I agree, because I believe this truth came to them, and I believe they entertained it and they said, "Nah, I can't preach that."
Well, because it'll affect their congregation.
Bingo. Exactly right.
Right. They don't want to offend anybody.
They don't want to offend anybody, and they want to keep their flock.
With your encounter, wasn't there a certain individual that had the same encounter you had, or close to your encounter, around the same time?
Yeah.
And ended up, where did he end up? He ended up on ABC News for a little bit too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Did he stop seeking?
Yeah. It seems like he went.
Yeah. He went the other way.
Yeah, he got caught up in the
the world.
The money.
Yeah.
Because he went back into the Jesus.
Traditions.
Correct. And that's where he's still at right now.
People pleasing.
Yeah.
The one thing with this truth, and that with the relationship where God's brought us, and this word has stuck with me since you've been speaking about when we first started speaking is it's unwavering.
Unwavering.
Yeah.
Unwavering. When you say something, you know that it's the truth from God, and you will not waver. And that's where we're talking about other ministries where they waver.
They waver.
Because all of a sudden they have a committee that's going to tell you what the pastor's going to preach or where the money's going and all that other garbage.
Well, that's a good point.
I like that. Years ago.
Yeah, that's a good point because we did turn down a lot of offers or a lot of ministries that wanted to
take us under their wing and
help us grow, and all that because they saw the fire, but then they knew we needed help financially. And evangelizing and all that.
Well, they saw money signs.
Sure.
Let's be truthful, especially the older gentleman. He saw dollar signs in what the miracle signs and wonders of God were doing.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
And they were following, and he wanted to cash in on it.
And I
praise God that we did.
Yeah, we could have. We could have fell in like that other dude did.
Yeah.
But by the grace of God, I think because of a time like this, I really do. There has to be a forerunner to take that gospel message out and not waver, like you said, not waver. You know, it takes strong men, really. It takes strong people, men and women. It takes strong group of people, because I honor the women here too. Listen, to be alongside of someone like you or someone like me or, you know, someone like the rest of them, to just stay united and at the same time chip away from the flesh, chip away from the soul that they love so much, you know, because listen, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, think about it.
That's for all of us, Jim.
Right.
How can I come here? With somebody. Now, I'm not saying they gotta do everything I do, but if they're gonna sit here and mock me from coming here,
exactly right. How can you have a relationship with that individual who can't understand the fire or the truth that's burning inside of you?
Right.
You know, like, so I give kudos or hats off or, you know, honor or respect to those individuals that have really embrace this gospel message. You know, I look at, you know, I see Jim and Rachel Franklin who, you know, quietly serve and are a part of this ministry, and they're constantly changing. I think that's a beautiful thing. Mary Lou over here. And there are others, you know, I want to say, who have taken this gospel message. They see the truth. They see the fire. They see it. And they say, you know what? I want a life. I want eternal life too. I know it's obtainable. I know it's obtainable. You know, the big, those that have chosen not to, you know, it's sad. What are you going to do? You know, you see them suffering. But the cares of the world have taken them. You know, they wanted that lifestyle, what have you, of the world. But, you know, the funny thing is this gospel here allows you to have the things of the world. It doesn't, like, rob you from it. It's like saying you can't have that house or you can't have that car. You can't have that lifestyle, you know?
You don't need it anymore. You get it, but you don't need it.
Those right, you don't need it.
They need it. That's the difference. They think they need it.
People can't.
Good point.
And even ministries. Like, I look back and I remember that we were about to go into another building. Years, I mean, this was 20.
Yeah, 15, I remember that. And the keys were taken away. Yeah, that was a trick.
There's a lot of people that I know that would have kicked down doors.
Kept going.
And would have kept on going. We could have went out and opened up a building somewhere.
Oh, we could have.
We would have struggled like heck, but we could have done that.
Yeah.
But we just knew it wasn't the time.
Mm-mm.
And surrendered that.
Well, we realized that every time we did, God seemed to close the doors.
Because our hearts were in it. Yeah. But there's other individuals and other ministries.
Would have ignored it and kicked that door.
That's
open.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And we could have, too. We could have fought them. You know, saying, listen, there was a lease here. We want you to honor it, blah, blah, blah. And that place stayed vacant for how long?
Probably still is.
Yeah, but that creates a dependency on the people.
Yeah, you're right.
Because now you got a nut. And with the nut, you just prostitute yourself is what you do. Because you have to pay your nut. So we become prostitutes. So we don't want that. We want to be free. We don't want to be a prostitute to anybody. Nobody, nobody, nobody.
You've been asking before, what happened to those pastors? Well, they went out and bought a big building.
They prostitute themselves.
Now they couldn't offend anybody, so.
Correct.
They kept the buildings.
And then they're puppets for other people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The ones with the checkbooks.
And that's a sad thing. That's a shame.
Well, look.
You know, and the people that were here and they wanted to go live the world or whatever, just because they wanted to glorify themselves. They didn't want to glorify God.
Let me say this.
We're given, God's the control. God's given to us.
That's right.
They left, and they're taking the glory because they think they're doing it.
Mm. Yep.
That's the difference. Like you said, they could have stayed here, and they could have got it all just like that. But they wanted to go out and do it themselves.
And we weren't even asking them to change. You know, you have to cut your hair or you got to, wear a dress or something. You know, it's like, we just believe that if you have that relationship, we trust you. So there's no judgment. Hey, you want to go have that operation done or what have you and make your boobs bigger? Go right ahead. You know?
Look how many people have left here because they got offended by something.
But those offenses were within them.
The biggest thing
has nothing to do with out here. Nobody's ever been.
No, there's no judgment in this gospel.
At all.
No.
Yeah. See, the problem is though, you come to a crossroad where you're either going to love and trust God or you're going to love your life.
Yeah.
And the people that left loved their life more than they loved this truth in God.
Yeah, they loved their life, and they also didn't want to change.
That's what I'm saying. They loved it so much that they couldn't change.
Yeah, the doctrine. Yeah. Their doctrine that they became their foundation was their whole life. And when you're hungry. When we were hungry in the beginning, we were listening to everybody, trying to find truth. I'm listening to everybody, trying to find the truth. I'm listening to everybody. I'm open. Once you become unopened, you're done. These pastors now in these churches who have the facilities ready, they're not open to any other gospel. So they have their gospel. And if they're wrong, you'll lose the clock with somebody else. If somebody there has the same gospel you're preaching, why don't I just go over there? No. We got to keep the funds. We got to keep that money coming in. That's the problem.
Right.
They're not open to anything different. They have the same old manna, like Chris said earlier.
It's a sad thing because if you knew you were truly called, then you would also know that God would provide and he would keep the lights on.
You'd think.
If God chose to shut the lights down, then walk away from the calling.
Yeah.
That's kind of like where our hearts are.
Yeah.
You know, we can't control tomorrow. But what we could do is keep our heart still burning. And be obedient to the message. And if God chooses to continue to keep the lights on, so be it.
Yep.
If he chooses to shut the lights out, then so be it. I mean, who are we to fight for the gospel that was given to us? It should freely be given.
Correct, yes.
Since we freely get what is given to us, we should freely give.
Give it, yes.
You know, and that's why, you know, we know that, yes, we need to ask. But we do it for their account, so that they can get the blessings. When we ask for an offering or something, it's for their good to give to this ministry.
So they can see God in it when they give.
Yeah, so that God can bless them.
Correct.
You know, and that's, I think, when you give according to the heart, that's where the blessings are unloaded. But when there's a number like, oh, well, if you want to become a member. And now you have to pay the membership fee, and that requires 10% of your income. Then you have
$1,000 coming. Who's got the $1,000?
You know, they give pamphlets out with the monthly following of what's been given that year so far.
Yeah. Now,
to a T.
Now this is the thing. Yeah. Now it's not coming from their heart, so they're not getting blessed by God.
Now. Correct.
But I'm talking about the people.
Yeah.
The people aren't getting blessed.
No.
So if you take that truth. And you offer it to somebody, and they'll say, well, you know, financially speaking, I've been giving to the church now for so many years, and I really haven't been seeing the financial blessings that they talk about. It's because it's structured where your heart's not really giving. You're being forced, and there's a grumble and a moan and a groan inside.
Yeah.
And God sees that, and of course he's not going to give you a blessing, you know. And so... I wanted to clarify that because, you know, we still need to ask if our audience wants to give, you know, and stuff like that, you know, to keep the lights on. But at the same time, who are we really depending on?
That's the whole thing. We can't rely on anybody to pay our way.
Right.
We gotta trust God.
Right.
And not let anyone influence us or dominate us or say, I'm giving, so you listen to me. Oh, okay, because you're giving, so I can listen to you now.
Right.
No.
You know, I mean, just on this, and I'll turn it over to you real quick, because I wanted to share this testimony I just had.
Go ahead.
You know, and I want to thank, you know, Pastor Sam here, and he's a humble man, and he probably doesn't even want me to mention this, but I had it at my heart set to go get the sneakers for the girls, you know? And we're all ready to go, and God knew my heart, right? And I just wanted to bless them, because they did so much in the last couple of weeks. And then all of a sudden, Sam says, hey, I feel led to just, you know, bless you with, you know, get your girls some sneaks. And I was like, oh, my God, look at this. I just got blessed by God. Yeah. You know, knowing that Sam was doing it, I knew God was, I was like, I'm just getting blessed by God. Hallelujah. I said, I looked at Sam and I said, Sam, get ready for your blessing because it's coming. You see, because out of his heart, awesome. Out of his heart, the blessing came, you see. So we have to realize how God operates, and we really need to just trust in God and let God work these things out. And I hope there's ministers out there that are listening, because I feel that God wants to do the same thing in their churches.
He wants to be trusted.
Yeah.
He wants people to trust him.
Yeah.
He needs them to trust him.
Yes. And if they would trust him,
a little bit.
Let him keep the lights on. Let God keep the lights
trust
on.
Trust him once. Just trust him in one thing.
Yep.
Start with one thing and then go to the next one and get bigger and bigger and bigger. But test him in this. Why don't you test him? If you really say you trust him, then test him.
You know, this is one of the things that really startled me when God called us into the ministry. About the congregation having the say of what should be spoken. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, God has called us to be the ministers. Why are we letting the sick people who are coming in, needing healing, tell us what message we should be speaking? Right. I was like, what? Or if not, they leave.
Yep.
I was like, well, what kind of church is that? What kind of ministry is that? What kind of calling is that? When God has entrusted us, healed us, delivered us, gave us the message.
We give it to them, the trust to them.
But we give it back to the sick people who are coming in looking for help.
We give it back.
But we're giving it to the sick people to dictate the message on what we should speak about or what. You know what? You're a little hard this week, Pastor Tim. I think maybe you should lay a little low on the, you know, killing the flesh thing.
And there's congregations that are set up by organizations where it's already pre-written and it's yearly.
Correct, yes.
Where the same scriptures are spoken
every year.
Every day of every year.
That's a lot of church.
I met someone not too long ago that brought me in this book that the Catholic Church actually gives you every year, and it tells you what sermon they're going to be speaking on what date.
Yeah, it's all through the whole year.
And I was like, what?
Every year.
Yeah.
That's controlled.
Pastor Monsignor's golf game this week. All right.
I had a guy at work the other day and started blasting the Catholic Church.
Yeah, Catholic bingo.
I might as well. I had a guy at work, and I had nothing to say about this. All of a sudden, it just started going about church. And a guy just started blasting the Catholic Church. He's like, oh, yeah, that's not a cult. Stand up, kneel down. Stand up, kneel down. Genuflect. Shake hands every day. The same thing. And I was just like, wow, thank you, Lord.
Well, you know what? I look at that really as a stepping stone. I'll tell you what. I would love to have one of their churches.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Just to preach out of. Because just to go in there to see the stained glass, I mean, it feels spiritual. I mean, you got the candles, you got the stained glass, you got the, you know, the pew-looking altars or whatever.
Pew is right.
Yeah.
But P-U, not pew, not pew.
But
P-U
is what you're saying. Yeah. It kind of like...
No, there's something, there's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, if we looked at that one in Mexico, Oaxaca, thing, it was unbelievable. I never saw anything like it.
That was just gold.
And they're all,
I mean, yeah, but they could have not.
They're all starving.
Yeah,
in the streets,
yeah, right.
And
yeah.
Then yet the church is a $5 million church, and the people are starving and dying.
40-foot gold altar.
Good job.
I think it was $5 billion.
Way to go. Way to take care of the people.
I'm just saying it was a beautiful building. Architecturally, it was beautiful. But it's funny. The scripture I have here.
We're running out of time, so we got
scripture real quick. And it was, I got this scripture when you were speaking about Sam. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And that's where I think our message is really going to tonight. Yeah. Where is the fear of God?
Amen.
Correct.
You know, and that's what keeps us going every day. And even if we fall short, because we all fall short of the glory of God. But it brings us back to that fear of the Lord. And I know Tim, I know Jim, and I know Sam and myself, we can't walk away from something that God has called us to do because of the repercussions.
Right.
Because I don't want to get smacked around. And but that's right. But this truth is not something where you have to walk around with a collar on. You can be yourself because God loves you and created you for who you are. We're all different right here. All four of us right here are so different, but in the same sense, we're all the same. But that love of God continues to grow in every one of us daily, and because of that fear of God. But that fear of God becomes a trust in God.
Beginning of wisdom.
And it is. And it's a beautiful thing. But you're called or asked to come to God in where you are.
Correct.
Who you are, what you are. And like Tim was saying earlier, the outside stays the same. It's the inward that's changed. That's the glory to glory to glory to glory, and that's where more peace comes in, more joy comes in, more love comes in, more compassion comes in, more mercy comes in. The fear leaves. The anger leaves. That's what we're talking about. That's what this gospel is. It's not give me, you know, 100 hours a week and we'll give you some holy water or give you a prayer cloth. It has nothing to do with that. It's an inward change. That's what this gospel does. It changes you, like, I'm going to go back to Pastor Tim. It changes you from the inside out.
Amen. So with that being said, there's a call. Come.
Amen.
Come if you want to be changed, healed, delivered.
Set free.
Set free.
Set free.
Amen.
Amen.
So this is the end. God bless.